to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
In the book of Acts, there was a fellow by the name of Philip that went down to a desert area, and he saw a eunuch riding in a chariot reading the book of Isaiah. And the Lord said, go attach yourself to it. And he heard him reading the book of Isaiah. And when he finished, the Bible says, and I like, go ahead and put that up, would you, Acts? And we'll run through it real fast to the end. And I'll show you the very end of it. It's Philip went down to the desert. And when he heard this eunuch talking about reading the book of Isaiah, he attached himself and began to talk to the eunuch. And the eunuch said, who is he talking about, himself or someone else? And the Bible says this, beginning with that scripture and then using all the prophets, he preached unto him. Say it with me. He preached unto him what? Jesus. He preached unto him Jesus. And this morning I want to do the same thing. I want to use the Bible and I want to preach unto you Jesus. Last week we talked about Jesus the carpenter. Everybody say Jesus the carpenter. Wasn't that a good sermon last night? Wasn't it good? Yeah, I thought it was good. And so Jesus the carpenter, and literally talk to you about how he experiences everything we experience, our relationships, our pain, our work life, and how it all did. Today, I want to talk to you about Jesus the shepherd. Everybody say Jesus the shepherd. The Bible portrays us as the church three different ways mainly. One, as a family, because relationships are more important than rules. Come on, somebody. Always remember that relationships are more important than rules. Second thing, he depicts us as the fellowship. That's why unity is more important than issues. But the third and the most important way we're ever depicted in the Bible is as sheep. Everybody say sheep. Everybody say, bah, everybody, as sheep, a flock. And Psalms 100 verse 3 says it this way. Know that the Lord, he is God. He is he that made us and we are his. We are his people and the what? The sheep of his pasture. Now, see, we like that because we see pictures of sheep. We hear stories of sheep. But in that day, you've got to really realize that was not probably one of the more complimentary things to say about somebody in its entirety. Here's what I want you to do for this morning, and we're going to have communion at the end. I want you to think of yourself as a sheep this morning. Not in some metaphorical sense. I want you to think of yourself literally as a sheep this morning. All right, play this video. But go ahead and play. Watch this video. Go ahead and expand it to the whole picture, would you? And just watch this video, and then help. Go ahead and be seated. You can be seated this morning while you're doing that. Go ahead.
You know, today we're going to be looking at the 23rd Psalm, which is not so much a psalm about the valleys of life as it is about the shepherd. And I thought, what better way to learn about the shepherd than to start out by taking a little look at sheep? So I'm over here at Green Oaks Ranch, and we've got some sheep with us. And I just want to tell you a little about these animals. I kind of wish God had maybe chosen to call us, say, eagles or rhinos or anything but sheep. Because the truth of the matter is, sheep are dumb. J.D. Larson, one of the pastors on our staff, was telling us this week about an experience his dad had one Christmas Eve. It was a wet snow that came in, followed by a chilling wind. And these sheep were so dumb that instead of going into the barn, what they did is they just kind of huddled over and laid down on the ground. And, of course, when the ice formed, they were stuck. So his dad had to spend the entire day and on into the next evening prying all of the sheep loose. And some of them were so dumb, they were kind of thankful when they got up. They'd look around, they'd take a few steps, and they'd roll over on the other side only to freeze up again. In fact, they've been known to jump off cliffs. My mom, when I was growing up, used to ask me, I bet yours did too, hey, if everybody else jumped off a cliff, would you? Well, if I'd been a sheep, guess what I would have said? Sure. You know, there's stories of up to 450 of them following one another right off the edge of a cliff. And in fact, in one story I read from Turkey, 450 of them went over and 1,500 followed, but none of them died because they landed on a nice, thick, woolly cushion. They're dumb. On top of that, they're incredibly skittish, you know? We want to come, oh, well, and they're gone. Yep, they're so skittish, they'll run at anything. But again, they're so dumb. I saw on the web this week a picture where out of the front windshield, some people were chasing some sheep, and the sheep ran for about a quarter of a mile along the roadway, even though there was open pasture everywhere around them. But they saw a road in front of them, and instead of getting off to be able to find their freedom, they just kept following the road with all of its turns, and even at a fork in the road, they chose one side over the other. Worse than that, sheep don't even know what's good for them. You know, they'll walk right past the food they're supposed to eat something that'll kill them. Not knowing what's good for them, they'll stay in a line. And again, in New Zealand, there's reports of them standing in line behind other sheep that are getting their throats slit, as if they're waiting and saying, well, when is my turn? And they're totally incapable of caring for themselves. I've never heard of a wild sheep, and I know you haven't as well. And yet that's what God chose to call us, and thankfully chose to call himself a shepherd. Well, so much for sheep right now. I've got to tend briefly to a couple of my other little pets, and we'll get on with this sermon.
All right, this is my little... All right, everybody go, bah, would you? The Bible says that we are sheep, and we're going to talk about Jesus the shepherd. Let's pray this morning. Father, I ask you to open our eyes, help us, give us wisdom in all that we do to know you in Jesus' name. And everybody said a good amen again, would you? All right, we're going to talk about sheep. As it said, the problem with sheep is sheep are dumb. They are, the other thing is sheep are delicious. There's a lot of animals, wolves and lions and bears that are looking to eat sheep. You remember the story of David when he was about to fight Goliath. He said, I fought the lion and the bear. Why was the lion and the bear? What are you fighting for? Because they were about to eat the sheep. And you have to understand that there's wild animals. We were in California a few months ago, and we were at Jasmine's brother's house, and we're sitting on the patio. And Jasmine says, it's late at night, it's dark. She says, there's something moving out there, you know, right in the yard. And we look out there, and we didn't see anything. And all of a sudden, our eyes focus, and there in the backyard, only I don't know how many feet away from us, was a bear sitting watching us. Come on, somebody. Jasmine wanted to go pet. I said, because I don't think he's looking for friends. Come on, somebody. He was looking for supper. And what happens is, get the idea, because what happens is that we are sheep. And we think because we're Americans, we are so smart. We were on a trip to Israel one time, and I'll never forget this. Somebody, one of the guys that went on the trip with us, had bought a brand new camera. And the Israeli guide that was with us, this guy that went with us was so high-minded and haughty and, you know, better than he. The Israeli guide said, let me tell you something, brother. And he said, no, and he wouldn't listen to the guy. What it was, it ended up being for 2 days of the trip, this guy had the camera backwards. Come on, somebody. He had a bunch of pictures of his nose. Come on. Because somehow we think we are so much smarter than other people or other race, because we're Americans. And one of the keys about life is when you really begin to understand life, many times many of the older men and women that walked with God had a lot of wisdom and a lot of insight. Not everything is done by logic. Not everything is godness. And so we read the Old Testament sometimes and we think how dumb those people were, how stupid mistakes they made, and we're now more intelligent and all the rest. Look at 1 Corinthians and look at this in the Message translation. I want you to read what Paul wrote to us, and here's what he said. These are all warning markers. Danger. Everybody say danger. It's like you're walking and you see a danger sign. He said, that's what these stories are. The Old Testament ought to be danger signs for us. Said they're all warning markers, danger in our history books, written down so that we don't repeat their mistakes. Our positions in the story are parallel. They at the beginning, we at the end. And we are just as capable of messing it up as they were. Don't be so naive and self-confident. You're not exempt. You could fall flat on your face as easily as anyone else. Forget about self-confidence. It's useless. Cultivate God confidence. Everybody say amen this morning, would you? So what happens is this. But what happens is we begin to kick in our sheep nature. And our sheep nature can be that when he calls us that, he called us that for a reason, because the sheep were the same then as they are now. They were very naive. They were dumb. They were not capable of providing for themselves. They were not capable of protecting themselves. They were helpless. But the answer is this. The answer in our dilemma lies not in us. The answer of our dilemma lies in the fact that we have a shepherd. Come on, somebody. The answer is not that somehow we're going to stop being sheep. The answer is we've got to realize there is a shepherd that loves us and will provide for us and protect us and keep us all the days of our life. Come on, get a good clap offering. Come on. There is a shepherd. In John 10, this is what Jesus said. He said, the thief, everybody say the thief, comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. You don't know how shocking what he just says here. You don't know how shocking that was to the Jews in that day. Because one time another man came up and said, good rabbi, whatever. And he said, why do you call me good? There's only one good, and that is God. And yet now he stands and says, I am the what? I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Go ahead, verse 12. Go on to the next one. He says, I lay down. Says, I am the good sheep. Go on to the next one, verse 12. He who is hired hand and not a shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good. Everybody say the good. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Now you get that, because he says, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Listen, notice it's Satan is coming against you in three ways. The Bible speaks about it. Now, let me just say this before I even say that. When he said, I am the good shepherd, here is why it was so shocking to them. To them, they only had one shepherd. That was God himself. Secondly, was King David. And when you read the book of John, from about John chapter 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, Jesus brings in I like to call it the trifecta of Jewish people they revered. And that was Abraham and David and Moses. And when you read John 6 through about John 12, Jesus hits all three of those three big guys. If there was a Mount Rushmore in Israel, these guys' faces would be on it. And Jesus comes and he says, I think it's John chapter 6. He says, I'm the bread of life, which meant this. He says, that was Moses that gave us bread. He says, there's one greater here than Moses. Moses gave you bread, but you hungered again. I have bread that when you eat of it, you'll never hunger again. Come on, somebody. And then he stood and said, you've seen Abraham. And he said, before Abraham was, I am. Come on, somebody. And now he stands and he says, I know you love King David. I know he's the biggest deal in your history books. But he said, I'll tell you something. He may have been the shepherd, but I'm the real shepherd. Come on, somebody. I'm the good shepherd. And he began to speak all that. And so he speaks all that. But then he says, I lay down my life for the sheep, but I'm not like the thief. There is a counter force to me, and that's called the thief. And he said he's going to try and come at you in three ways. One, he said, he's going to steal from you. And there's a wolf, there's a thief, there's an attacker, an enemy against sheep. And the first thing this enemy is going to do, he's going to try to steal from you. Maybe physically, maybe physical things. Maybe emotional things. He may steal your peace and your joy. He may try to steal your wife, your husband. He may try to steal. But there's a thief that steals. Then he said, secondly, he kills. Steal and kill. He'll try to kill. Thirdly, is destroy. And he's trying to destroy your witness and other things. But there is an enemy that will come against you. But the key is not how strong we are. There's a key that we have a shepherd. Come on, somebody. Because I'm a sheep. Everybody say, bah. It's not me getting stronger in my own might. It's me getting closer to him and becoming stronger in his might. Because he's the shepherd. And I learned this about there's an enemy. And there's nowhere better to go than Psalms 23. We read this mostly at funerals, but really ought to be read for life. And the good shepherd is completely different from the thief. In Psalms 23, I want everybody now, I know you're comfortable and ready to sit there for a while. Everybody stand back up one more time while we read. And I want all of us to read the Word of God together. And Psalms 23, 1 through 6. And here's the other thing I'm going to ask you to do. This week, I'm going to ask you to rememorize Psalms 23. Oh, I know Psalms. I want you to rememorize Psalms 23. Let's all, everybody read it together, would you? A Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. Everybody give the Lord a good clap offer. Would you do that? Come on. Isn't that great? You can be seated with a good bah this morning. Would you there? Go ahead. Jesus said, remember, he said, I'm the good shepherd. So Psalms 23 is talking about Jesus. Because the beginning of it, the Lord is my shepherd. Everybody say the Lord. The Lord, and who is the Lord? The Lord is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And Jesus stands and says, I am the good shepherd of our life. And three things the shepherd does this morning. Number one, and then we're going to have communion. Number one is the shepherd provides. The first thing you've got to realize, we are the sheep of his pasture. And so what we're dumb, we're skittish, we're defenseless, we don't know what to eat that's good for us, we don't know how to provide for ourselves, we don't know all of that. What we need is a shepherd that will provide and take care of us. We need a shepherd that will lead us and guide us. And the first thing is this, is the shepherd provides. The number one, the shepherd provides. Everybody say provides. Psalms 23 and 1. Look at this one. A psalm of David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not what? And the word want there is the word for lack. Isn't it amazing during downtimes of economics and an economic downturn? Isn't it amazing how we become skittish about how we're going to provide for ourselves? Isn't it amazing that during economic hard times, the fear comes in our heart, how are we going to have green pastures? Can I tell you something this morning? David said, he didn't say, during good times, I shall not lack. David said, the reason I'm not going to lack is because the Lord is my shepherd. The reason I don't have to worry when the economy gets bottom, it's not because I got a bunch of moolah in the back. It's because the Lord is my shepherd. He protects me. He guides me. I know I'm dumb as a sheep. I understand that. I know I don't know that much, but I know this. I know one that does. Come on. I may not know much, but I know somebody that knows a lot. That's like the old story, me and my dad knows everything. Well, how do you know? I don't know, but my dad does. I don't know what my dad does. Come on, somebody. So you learn the fact that he is your, Jesus is our provider. He's Jehovah Jireh, always has been, always will be. Oh, great, that means I'm going to get everything I want. No, that's not what it means. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Listen, you'll get everything you need. We have convinced ourselves in America everything we want is what we need. Come on, somebody. He'll give us everything. Now, listen very carefully. I don't know about you. When my kids were growing up, there's some things they needed they didn't want. Come on, somebody. Oh, no. I don't want to take that. No, I don't want that. You're going to take it and you're going to take it. Has the Lord ever given you something you didn't really want, but you needed? One time, I'm going to tell you, one time I had issues with another pastor. This is the truth. And I thought I was justified. He thought he was justified. And it was issues with he and his wife. And this is the truth. Jasmine and I went all the way to Florida one time to Brownsville Revival. How many know the Bible says, leave your gift at the altar and go be reconciled to your brother? We went all the way to Brownsville Revival, and we went in, and they were closed. They closed the main doors because it was too many people in there. So we went to the second overflow room. It was full. We couldn't get in. We went to the third overflow room. They said, there's room right up there. We started walking. We walked down the place, got over there, started walking across the aisle. And this is the truth. And when I looked up, there they were coming this way with the wife leading. This is the truth. And the only four seats were right there in the, come on, somebody. Did I want that? Come on, somebody. Did I want that? But did I need it? Well, just listen to this. You miss what you need sometimes by only looking for what you want. Get that truth in you. You miss the provision of God sometimes in your life by only concentrating and focusing on what you want.
Can I get a better Presbyterian amen in this church this morning?
All right. But the good shepherd always provides. And let me tell you what he provides. Let me tell you some things he provides. Here, A is in verse 2. Here, first thing he provides is contentment. Look at verse 2. Look what it says. It says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside, everybody say still. Let me tell you something about contentment. When God gives you contentment, you don't need everything you thought you needed. I don't need that. That's why one of the best things to do is leave cash at home. Come on, sometimes. Am I right or wrong? Sometimes it's good to leave your credit cards at home. And if you had a problem with them, leave them with the scissors. Come on, somebody, and that'd be a great thing. Listen, second thing he does is he provides restoration. Let me tell you one thing he does. Verse 3 says it this way. Everybody say restores. The word, it's an interesting word, because what happens is we get crushed at times. We say it like that. Man, I lost my job, man. I was crushed. My wife left me, and man, I was crushed. You know, my best friend, you know, lied about me, and I heard about it from the time, and man, I was crushed. And we talk about our soul because he says he restores my what? Your mind, that's your will, that's your emotions. And he restores. One thing we need many times in our lives is to be restored in our life. Because he says the shepherd restores the soul of the sheep. He says, God is my shepherd. And he restores my mind and my will and my emotions. Why? Because I'm crushed at times. You saw that man walk toward those sheep, and you saw skittish and the hurt, how easily hurt they are, and all that happens. And you got to get this, because our soul was crushed. And the amazing thing is the Hebrew word for to restore means to repair, and the root word of it means to return back to the point of departure. Do I have that up there? It means to repair, but the root of it means to return back to the point of departure. You remember when you're driving and sometimes you think, I think there's a shortcut. I can do this shortcut. And you take off, and next thing you hit is this. We were doing that one time, and I said, Jasmine, I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going, because I always know where I'm going. And then we come up on a dead end. Come on, somebody. And what I begin to think about is, where can I return to the point of departure? Come on, somebody. I remember we were with my dad one time. We did it. We went and he hit a cul-de-sac. Just came back around. I remember my dad said, "Well, that rolled up that little yard of wine." Oh, I forgot what it was. Something witty he said. But what happens is God comes in and wants to bring us back to the point of departure. That he restores. He brings you back to the place where it was destroyed and broken down. In other words, you're going along really well, and all of a sudden something devastating happens, and your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions are crushed. You're ravished, and you don't know what to do, and depression comes in. And God wants to bring you back to the point where you deviated, where it went off. And the good shepherd restores. And the third thing he does under that first category, providing, he provides guidance for us. When you realize that, it says he leads me. Verse 3 says, everybody say he leads. He doesn't beat me. He doesn't push me. He doesn't herd me. You know, sheep, when you begin to understand, sheep follow. That's what they do. I remember this. He leads, we follow. He leads, we follow. A seminary student, when he graduated, decided before he took his first pastorate, he'd take 1 year and go to Israel and join himself to a shepherd in Israel and learn how to be a shepherd before he took his first. I mean, that'd be a good training ground. And so he got there. He gave himself to one of the shepherds. He says, I'll sleep with the sheep. All you got to do is give me something to eat and give me a place to sleep. And the shepherd said, absolutely, come. And he worked for 1 year. And he said one of the most amazing things he ever had was the day when the shepherd told him, we're going to the big watering hole. And when they went to the big watering hole, they had 15 to 2,000 sheep themselves. They went to the watering hole. And he said, when we got there, there were probably 10 to 12 other shepherds there with all their sheep. And he said, the most amazing thing I found out was, he said, they all began to mingle. They all went down, began to drink. They all began to eat because there was grass growing along these watering holes and all that. And he said, and the shepherds all got together. They knew each other. They talked. They laughed. They told stories. And then he said, one by one, the one would say, I've got to go now. He would stand up and he would go, woo! And other, I don't know if he said exactly that way. He just said other, you know, that. And he said, when he did that, all he would do is, after he made that loud noise, turn around and start walking. And he said, when he would, he said, the most amazing thing I ever saw in my life. He said, sheep from all over that place, thousands upon thousands, you would see them get up and start heading toward that shepherd. And he said, a little bit later, another one would say, I'm going now. Whoa! That means, come on, buddies. Whoa! And he would stay up and just start. And he said, at the end of it, it was us and one other shepherd. And he said, that other shepherd said goodbye, called out, began to walk. And all you could see all these sheep. There'd be four or five over here. Two of them would, heads would raise, and they'd walk off. The other three would keep eating. He said, not a one of them. He said, when we were standing, he says, I said, I wonder how many is going to be left when we leave. And he said, when his shepherd called and he started walking with him, he said, not one sheep was left. You know why? Everybody say it with me. My sheep know my what? A voice of another they'll not follow. And when Jesus said that, he said something well known in that day that was happening. Listen, Dr. Cho used to say it this way. I pray and I obey. I listen for the, he said, I'm not smart. And Dr. Cho, yes, he's the biggest church in the world. Here's what he says. I'm not smart. He said, I learned how to do this. I pray and then I obey. When the Lord says it, that's what I do. He leads me, I will follow. Number two. Is the shepherd not only provides, but the shepherd protects. And this is one thing you need to get. Verse 4 says this. Jesus says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Listen, your rod and your staff. Number one, Jesus gives us the ability to live beyond fear. If you are living a life of fear, you need to meet the shepherd that you live a life that you do not live a life of constant fear. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? I will fear. Listen, he gives us the greatest fear of our life is death.
Oh, no, Pastor. The biggest fear of my life is not having.
The biggest fear of your life is death. And he goes right to the biggest fear. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow, I will fear no evil. No, Pastor, I have a fear of heights. No, you have a fear of falling off and killing yourself. Come on, somebody. Oh, no, Pastor, I have a fear of snakes. You have a fear of a snake biting you and dying from the bite. It's fear of death. And so he comes and gives us, we have the ability and the grace to live beyond fear. Listen, what happens is this. I will fear no evil. How could he say that? Number one is this. How could he say that? Look at A. Because he's with us in the battle. You get that? He was with us in the battle. He says, because you, look at verse 4. It says, I will fear no evil, for you are what? Come on, is you what? Why am I not fearful? It's not because I'm strong and smart and I can provide for all my needs and I can do all. No. The reason I cannot fear is because the shepherd is with me. Standing right beside me. He's never leave me nor forsake me. My shepherd is standing right there beside me. He knows what I need. He feeds me. He protects me, anoints me. Because the shepherd, listen, do you know what the wolf is afraid of? He's not afraid of the sheep. The wolf is afraid of the shepherd. I got a cat over there at my house that's got brain damage. Come on, anybody got a cat with brain damage? You know why my cat has brain damage? It's because every time you walk in the garage, this cat runs and plows his head into your leg. Spread that hair all over your pants and all that. But he constantly, if I walk out of my door, and I've got a garage, and I walk over to my office, which is across the garage, he runs and then he runs and he stands on the door and I have to push him away. I go in my office. When I come back out, it's like a new world, new day. Pow, hit my leg and the whole thing starts in. He runs back over the other door with me. That's how we ought to be with Jesus. Come on, somebody. You know why? Because the wolf is not afraid of sheep. Guess what the wolf is afraid of? The wolf is afraid of the shepherd. Do you know how you can deal with devils in your life? Instead of standing there and trying to rebuke them all day long, you ought to just draw close to Jesus. Come on, somebody. You ought to go get brain damage by running into Jesus all day long. Just, you know what? The Bible speaks you remember John, the apostle at the Last Supper? Remember what he did? He just put his head on Jesus' breast. And you know why they're afraid of the shepherd? Look at verse 4. Look, you know why they're afraid of the shepherd? Go to verse 4. Even though I walk through the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You're what? Your rod and your staff. Now, let me tell you something. The rod and the staff were never made to beat us. Come on, somebody. You know, when I grew up, I went to a church, and every Sunday you went in there, they beat you. Now come down and repent, you dirty rotten sinner. Come on, editor. Let me tell you something. When the rod and the staff are used to beat you, how many know that does not comfort you every week? But David said, I've got a shepherd that he's got a rod and a staff. I walk through the valley of shadow of death. I don't fear any evil. Why don't you fear evil? Because he's with me. Why? Because he's got a rod and a staff that if an enemy comes anywhere within 10 feet of me, whack! Come on, somebody. He protects me. They comfort me. The rod and the staff. I see those things and they comfort me. I've got a shepherd that's not defenseless. He's got a rod and that's like modern day. That's like a bazooka. Come on, somebody. He's got a taser. He's got whatever he needs. He protects. Which sheep does the wolf get then? The ones right up next to the shepherd? Are the ones that come about once a month. Come on, somebody. Come on, get a better amen. The ones that never join in with other Christians. That kind of come to church when they feel like it. That kind of pray when they have to pray. You know, emergency prayer. The ones on the fringes out there. That's out yonder far away from the shepherd. Because who's the wolf afraid of? So if I wanted to keep away from the wolf, guess where I'm going to be? Remember, it's the story I told you a long time about the little boy that kept falling out of bed every night. And then the night came when he didn't fall out of bed anymore. And his mom said, well, you didn't fall out of bed last night. No, I figured out I was sleeping too close to the edge. Come on, somebody, help me. Pastor, I backslid again. Well, won't you just get on in the bed? Won't you just get on into the bed and stop flopping off? Can I get a better amen? Number 4. Not only does he with us, he provides. Look at this. He blesses us in the battle. Lost an E out there, but he blesses in the battle. All right? You know what? He prepares the table. Verse 5 says he prepares a table. Get this. You got to get this. He prepares a table. When's the last time you watched a war movie? When's the last war movie you ever saw when they're engaging in battle, fighting and bullets going, and there in the middle of the battleground is a table with white tablecloth, china all around it, beef roast, you know, crab etouffee, all that stuff. And the guy just sitting there just eating away. Come on, somebody. How many know God can bless you that it seems like that in the middle of a battle you're going through where the devil's trying to kill, steal, and destroy you, and yet you're sitting there with a table spread before you, and you're and I know the battle's going on, but I don't know. He told me, go there and eat. He put a table. He spread a table. He said, go there and eat in the midst of your enemies. Come on, somebody say amen. He prepared a table in the midst of, and then C is, he refreshes in the midst of the battle. Verse 5, I think, says, he anoints my head with oil. And that's refreshes and also rejuvenates. And then number 3, the shepherd proclaims. We're out of time. I want to get the communion ready. Go ahead and bring your lights down. Third thing is the shepherd proclaims, and he proclaims this. He says, verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy. Everybody say goodness and mercy. Aren't you glad the anger of God is not chasing you all the days of your life? Aren't you glad? You know what the word, let me just give you this. The word follow, surely goodness and mercy shall follow. It's the word, Hebrew word for chase. In fact, the closest English word that we really have for that Hebrew word, rather, is the word tackle. Come on, somebody. Surely goodness and mercy will tackle me. Come on, somebody. It'll chase me down and tackle me. It'll grab hold of me. You know, one of the keys about is you got to stop running from God. You got to let God just catch you and allow it to catch you. And I like this because it says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's like this. I get everything from verse 1 to verse 5. And then verse 6 says, I get all of that plus heaven too. Come on, somebody. I get all of that plus heaven too. And I like this. Here's what Jesus said. Do you remember the last thing he said to Peter before, personally, when he took him aside after he rose from the dead? And he said, do you love me? And Peter said, yes. And here's what Jesus said. He said, if you love me, do what? You know why he said that? Because he loves sheep. You know why Jesus said that? He said it 3 times. Because Jesus is a good shepherd and he loves you and me. He loves sheep. He knows we're skittish. He knows we can't provide. He knows we're not the smartest animal on the earth. He knows that we'll eat stuff that'll kill us unless we're directed. He knows we'll go off cliffs. He knows that we'll, he knows all that. And yet he still, you know, somebody came to me one time and said, Pastor, I don't know how God can love me. And I told you, I said this to him. I said, I don't know either. I mean, I don't know. But the amazing thing is he does. He loves us. He loves us. And the last thing he's telling with Peter now, if you love me, then love what I love. Feed my sheep. If you really love me, because I love sheep. You know, I'll never forget. One time, you know, Jesus, when he said that, when you read the book of John 10, I think it's 4 or 5 times he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. And you have to remember this. Jesus was no martyr. No. He wasn't a martyr. Jesus was not a martyr. Nobody killed him for a cause. His death was voluntary. He gave his life. He said, no man takes my life from me. He wasn't a martyr. He wasn't a martyr for some cause. He said, no man takes my life from me. I have power and authority from my Father to lay my life down. It was voluntary. It was vicarious. He didn't die for himself. He had no sin. He said, I lay my life down for my sheep. And then thirdly, it was victorious. He says, I have power to lay it down and I have power to pick it back up. And pick it back up, he did. Come on, somebody. Pick it back up, he did. And he lives forevermore. You know, we just read Psalms 23. Here's what we're going to do. I believe that Jesus this morning wants to minister to you as sheep. I believe he wants to minister to us as sheep this morning. You might need provision. He provides. You might need protection. You might need proclamation that he wants to proclaim over you goodness and mercy where the enemies try to tell you you're worthless and you're this and you're that and you're this. I never forget, I read the story. There was a great poet, an orator that was a great poet, came into town. And people were giving him selections to cite, and he would do it almost by memory. He had such a great literature mind. And one old man in the back stood up and he said, "Would you recite Psalms 23? And the orator said, "You know what? I will. I will if you'll do it too." And the old man said, "Okay." And the orator got up and began to recite by memory Psalms 23. And when he finished, he intoned every place just right. And he had a deep voice. And he lowered it and raised it when he needed to. And when he finished, he got a standing ovation. And when the old man started, you could tell he'd not had a lot of schooling. His diction was not perfect. But when he finished, he says he did not get a standing ovation. Nor was there, though, one dry eye in the place. And later on during the little eats they had afterwards, somebody was talking to the great orator, and he says, "You know," he said, "what do you think the difference was between you and him?" And he said very candidly, he said, "Well, I knew the Psalms, but he knew the shepherd." Come on, somebody. I knew the Psalm, but I could tell that man knew the shepherd. I want the men to come that's going to do communion this morning. It says that he laid his life down. The good shepherd is not like the thief. He's not like the hireling, rather, that runs away when the thief or the wolf or the bear comes. But he lays his life down for the sheep. And we're going to pray this morning over this communion. And we just believe, Lord. And then we've got Psalms 23. Go ahead and get that video ready, would you? Get Psalms 23 ready. And go ahead and start it, if you would. Go ahead and start the video and make it full page when you do. There you go. And won't you bow your heads, and we're going to pray over the communion. And then when they finish, I want you to come up and get the bread and the wine and just go back to your seat and hold it so we all do it together this morning, okay? Go ahead. It's just music. It's instrumental when you're going to start. Father, we thank you this morning. We are sheep of your pasture. We believe, Lord, that we belong to you. And we believe that you're a good shepherd. And we say it with all our heart this morning. And Father, we ask you this morning, touch our hearts. Touch our spirits, touch our minds. Lord, restore where it needs to be restored. And we pray over the communion this morning, oh God. We pray for you to be real in this communion. Be the shepherd of this flock in this place. In Jesus' name. Everybody say amen this morning. Men, okay, y'all go ahead and do that. Lay that out. And as they begin to put it on, there's two tables here. There's a table in the back, right? And there is a table in the back. Yes, okay. So let's do that. Why don't you go ahead and go up and just pick up, if you would, and come up and get a little cup and get a little piece of the bread, and then go back to your seat and just reflect on the Lord. I believe the Lord wants to minister to you this morning. Come on, let's do that. And I believe there's tables in the back too. So if you want to, if you're in the back there, you're welcome. Go back in the back. You see the men walking, and you can direct them where it's at. Yeah, it's right back there. Go ahead. Take a little bit of time right now, just bring the music up a little bit, would you? Just let the Lord speak. I'm gonna dwell in the house. just tell him that he's your shepherd. What do you need this morning? Come on.
Forever and ever, and ever and ever.
Maybe you need to get rid of fear. Maybe it's dogging your steps. Come on, let him be your shepherd this morning. Stop trying to be strong in your own mind. Say, Lord, I'm your sheep. I need you, Jesus. I need you as my shepherd. I need you. I need you. I messed up so bad on my own. I need you this morning. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Lord. I need you, shepherd. You're my shepherd. You're my shepherd. Thank you for being my shepherd. Thank you for being my shepherd.
Surely I'm gonna dwell in the house of the Lord.
I just felt like there's people here who's been crushed, and the Lord wants to restore. He wants to bring you back to the point of departure. Come on. Say, Lord, restore. Lord, restore my heart. Oh, God, restore me. Restore me, Lord. Take the bread, and Jesus said, "This is my body." He said, you know, the reason I can restore you is because I took everything you experienced, I experienced it in my body. When they beat him and they crushed him, the Bible says, you know, you got to remember Gethsemane. The word means that where they crushed the grapes, and it was a huge stone that used to put on the grapes, and it would crush the very life out of the grape. And that was Gethsemane. It was the crushing of the grape. That's what it means. And he went through Gethsemane for you and I because he knew what it was to be crushed. Came to his own. His own received him not. It was more than just some mental. It was a crushing that he was crushed. Listen, he was bruised and crushed for our iniquities. And everything we've experienced in life, he paid the price. You know why? Because he loves us as the sheep of his pasture. This morning, he's a shepherd. This morning, he's coming you as the good. Listen to him say it to you. I am your good shepherd. I am your good shepherd this morning. I want you to see him. Listen, the government may only know you by a number, but he knows you by name. The star, listen, every hair on your head is numbered. He knows the numbers. He knows you to the infinite detail of your life. And he comes to you this morning and he tells you, I am your good shepherd. And I lay my life down for you. And I will chase you until goodness and mercy tackles you. Because it will still, listen, it is still the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. It is still God breaking a heart and God crushing and seeing that crushing, and then that hardness is gone and God can come in. And this morning as we take the bread, I want you to remember about him giving his body, and he was crushed for us. Father, we lay our hands on this little piece of bread, and as we partake it, thank you for being crushed for us. And we partake in Jesus' name this morning. Would you do that? Partake of the bread this morning.
You are my refuge.
Are there wolves nipping at your heels? Is the enemy close? You don't go cut it. Go ahead and start it again, would you? Is the enemy nipping at your heels? Then let me tell you a couple things. One is, draw near to the shepherd. I don't know where you're at. I got a question. Where are you? Are you on the fringes? Are you near him? You know, it says at the Last Supper that John had his head on the bosom of the Lord. He was so... You've had one of those kind of children, right? You know, when everybody else is sitting on the bed, they're up in your lap. You know, when everybody else kind of a little far, they're just hugging in there as close as they can get. I'll never forget, it says Judas, and it says it very particular. It says his hand was on the table. But his heart, he was on the fringes. And the enemy still goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may. Who does he devour? Let me tell you who devours. The enemy always, when you watch the National Geographic, it always devours the one that's on the fringes. Never can get to the animal that's right in the middle of the herd. Can't get to them. The one that's in close. And you know one of the keys about, listen, you're what's really bad, and I always, always tell people this. You always have people that are following you. Now listen very carefully. This is a word from God this morning. You might be able to be on the fringes and make it back. The worst whipping I ever got in my life, listen to this, the worst whipping I ever got in my life was when I was about, I don't know, 10, 11, 12 years old. Here's what I did. We had a hedge along our yard, and I'll never forget, we found a hornet, a big bee. I don't kind of hornet, but it was a big bee's nest was in the hedge. And we used to go down there and throw things at it and watch all the bees go up and run away. One time, my 2 or 3 year old brother went with us. And we got real close and we threw that rock in there and stirred that bee's nest up, and then we took off running. And my little brother, 2 or 3 years old, couldn't run as fast as, couldn't get away like we could. He got stung all over. I got stung all over later, but he got stung all over right then. I got stung all over with the switch. And you know what's so tough about living on the fringes? There's somebody following you that's not as fast as you. Can't get back like you can get back. And we live a life not just for ourselves, but we live a life for our brothers and sisters, our children, on and on and on. And this morning I want you to take the cup, and I want you to remember that. See, to get this, you need to be in close to the Master. Can you imagine being in close to the Master and the children of John? They're going to be right in there too. They're going to be right where John is. And this morning, Father, we love you with all our hearts. We commit our lives afresh and new to draw near to you. Thank you for being our shepherd. Thank you, Lord, for leading and guiding us. And Lord, this morning as we take of the cup, we remember the blood that was spilt. And we thank you, Lord, for giving your life for us. And we do it in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Go ahead and partake of the cup this morning. Everybody stand up, would you? Oh, Jesus. Would you just thank him this morning for being your shepherd? Would you just thank him? Can you do that out loud? Can you do it out loud? Thank you for being my shepherd this morning. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord increase you. The Lord, listen, the Lord protect you. The Lord provide for you. The Lord spread a table in the presence of your enemies for you this week. The Lord restore your soul this week. I really felt that though. God was going to take a week. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to relearn the book of Psalms 23 rather. I want you to re-memorize it. And I want you to think through everything we said. And as you pray this week, I want you to take Psalms 23. And I want you to pray that in your prayer time. And thank him. Lord, thank you for being my shepherd. Thank you that I'm not lacking anything. Thank you you're leading me in all kinds of green pastures and aside, the contentment of still waters. Thank you for all those things. And as you pray that this week, listen, God told me he's going to come and he's going to be a shepherd to you in a fresh new way in your life. And you're not going to worry about anything. You're going to be beyond fear this week. And your mind and your will and your emotions are going to be brought back to the point of departure, going to be restored, repaired. And God, listen, and you're going to begin to refresh yourself in knowing you get all of this and you get heaven too. And everybody said amen. Give a great clap offering. Would you do that? Amen, amen, amen. Turn around and hug somebody. Would you do that? God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night.